Welcome to another edition of Zoomed In. I'm your host, Brandon Chapman, and I'm joined by my friend Matt Coulter, who came to the College of Education a couple years ago after a 22-year teaching career in Bethel, in Orting, in Tumwater, which is right up the road from my hometown over in Centralia. And as you can see behind him, we went with the little virtual backgrounds, no green screen, so it's doing a little funky stuff. But Tumwater had just a slight bit of success, actually, in the football world. So it's a very apropos background you chose, Matt. But you're a baseball guy as well. You're doing some coaching here in Pullman at the high school. And I know we've caught some games at Bailey Brayton Field, and so I'm wearing my Cougs jersey, and we're just cooging out today, which is fun. Matt is the director of field services within the College of Education, and is a graduate of Eastern. Go Eagles! And I'm just going to say it's my university, Chapman University, for the master's and then the doctorate at WSU. So it's not like you're coming to unfamiliar territory. You're coming here to WSU where you got your doctorate. And we're really happy to have you and your family in Pullman. Your wife is a teacher in the school district. So you've been very involved in the education world. You worked at U of I actually for a while doing the same kind of thing I think you're doing now. And we stole you, we pilfered you from U of I, like we try to do with a lot of good people. So let us know, first, tell us a little bit about you and what the heck is a field services director?
Oh boy. Good questions. I'll start with the background. I was a Coug fan since I can remember learning to walk. I've got a family that it goes back generations as far as farming in St. John and Kamiai and this whole Palouse region, and so just tons of memories of Thanksgivings in Clarkston and coming through Pullman. I've got a lot of family who were Cougs. I have an uncle who just retired from WSU, as a longtime professor in the construction management area of the university. And so I grew up just, cheering on Reuben Mays and Drew Bledsoe and all the good baseball teams they've had in the past and Cougar basketball, and so it's kind of a little bit of returning to my childhood of being involved in not only just a well-known great institution, but all the things that could come along with living in a college town or a Pac-12 town, really, at that. And so Brandon and I, we see each other at the baseball games and
yep.
And the football games and the basketball games. And clearly we've both, we were talking about it just before this, we miss it. We miss it this year because that's one of the perks to life in a university town is all that goes along with it. And so, so I've always, considered myself a Coug and when the opportunity came up later in my teaching career to pursue a doctorate in teacher leadership, it was an easy choice, and it was a lot of fun to come back and it's really quite honestly a dream to work for this university. Just being such a fan of it through the years. The irony is, as a kid, even though I was a fan of all the sports teams, I used to think like Pullman seemed like it was just so remote and far away. And I guess it is if you think about it. And I used to think, and then the weather too, it'd be cold and I'd be like, why does everyone like it so much? But then as you get older, you kind of realize that that's part of the charm and that's part of the fun.
It is, but as we get older, our knees hurt more and our joints hurt more.
Exactly. That's
the downside.
That is the downside of it. Yeah.
The older Matt, the more I could see why somebody would be a southern dweller in the winter. But
I do too, and I won't be surprised if I end up one of these days a snowbird as well. But who knows? But as far as family life goes, it's a great place to be. And my oldest son is a sophomore at WSU, and he's in the human development program and seems to really enjoy it. And he got hired on to be an equipment manager for the football team. So he's super excited about that this year as well. As far as the position goes, it's kind of interesting. So teachers, when they hit kind of a certain mark in their career, sometimes it's 15 years, sometimes it's 20 years, you're at a crossroads, and you're either going to be that old timer that starts teaching kids of former students that you had, that you get the comments like, oh, I remember, my mom had the same assignment or something like that. And you kind of are the, you know, the gray beard in the school.
Gray.
and you just kind of ride it out into retirement and do your best to keep up with the energy of the kids. Or you go into administration and you end up working as a principal or as a superintendent. And I got to tell you that those are tough, tough jobs. So hats off to all the principals out there, because they really, every day is a challenge as far as what they deal with.
And it didn't get easier during COVID, for sure.
No, not at all. And so I thought, maybe a different route. I had remembered just the excitement of student teaching. I had enjoyed being a teacher. And I honestly would have been okay just, becoming that gray beard teacher and riding it out into retirement. But I decided, I needed a challenge. I had taught for 20 years and I needed something to kind of shake me up a little bit. And so the idea of helping teachers in such a pivotal time of their life was appealing. And so, I knew the ticket to get into something like that is a doctorate. And then I had done some adjunct work at WSU Vancouver, enjoyed kind of teaching classes down there. And so then it came time to like, well, am I going to make the jump or not? And I did make the jump and started off at University of Idaho. And that was appealing because I could live in Pullman and enjoy the benefits of WSU life while working at U of I. And it was a good decision. I enjoyed University of Idaho and it was definitely a challenge as far as the job part goes, but it was a kind of a rewarding challenge. When people ask what I do for a living, it kind of depends on who it is that's asking. If I feel like they would understand a little bit, then I get specific and I talk like, field certification, student teaching, preparing teachers, that sort of thing. And then they kind of give you kind of a pause and they think, oh, that's an interesting job. Sometimes they might say, oh, that's got to be a challenging job. But it's definitely a job that is pretty important, because you think about every career that's out there and every field that's out there, whether it's engineering, whether it's doctors, whether it's veterinary work. Any career, you have to have teachers that prepare the students in math, in the sciences, in the writing. So job satisfaction often comes down to making a difference in the lives of others, being good at something that is that not everybody can do. And then having some control over what your job is. And I feel like this job has that. It has just enough challenge where it doesn't put you over the edge, but it gives you motivation and purpose each and every day. And so really in a program like WSU, there's hundreds of teachers that are learning how to teach every semester, and they need to be in a classroom to learn how to teach. And they need to prove it. And if they prove it, then we certify them. And once they're certified, then they go out into the job force and they have influence over hundreds and ultimately thousands of students, that are gonna be the future of this country. So I, I, you know, I don't take that lightly. I understand it's a job that, you know, requires vision, requires, you know, working with a lot of different people. And it's one that, you know, that I'm fully in. This is, I guess, what, year six, I think, as far as being a field director, four with Idaho and now two with WSU.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I appreciate so far the work that you've done. I've been able to see that firsthand. Of course, I've been with the College of Education about 7.5 years. And so I don't think I've seen any turnover actually within your staff. I think your whole staff, minus Chris Sodorf, who retired and you replaced her, they've all been there since that time. So they know what they're doing. But briefly, you know, just like 10 seconds, just tell us about that, about the members of your staff and what it is that they're in charge of.
Yeah, so our office, we have a certification coordinator, Stacy Bickelhaupt. And then we have two kind of program coordinators who help Stacy and I, and that's Heidi Ritter and Nidra Murray. And that's one of the benefits of working here at WSU is the support that we get. That's something I didn't have the same level of support at University of Idaho. And so I'm very thankful each day for having them as part of the team. And that's really what it is we meet all the time and we get things done and they've all been here for quite some time. And so that's a good sign.
Yeah. And then when it comes to other aspects of that, like our student teaching, of course, there are people all over the state that are mentor teachers and other people who are in charge of making sure, you know, that the student teachers are able to do their thing. And of course they, you know, they frequently interact those people, like all those massive amount of people with folks on your staff. So it's really, if you were to look at the whole complexity of it, it's pretty wide, even though you're looking at, you know, four or five individuals total. It really spans over the course of many individuals that are in charge of all that. What is certification? I think people have heard that people, you know, that students have to be certified to become a teacher, but you know, what does that entail briefly? And then I do have a question about student teaching and student teaching in COVID.
Yeah, sure. I'll start with certification. So think of certification is it's basically a state giving somebody license to be legal within a classroom. And there's different types of certification. There's like a emergency certification. There's a substitute certification. They have what's called a residency certification. And this is all through the state. And then each teacher prep program works with the state. And so we're in communication with what's going on in Olympia, any changes with the laws, legislation, and we have to kind of follow whatever the guidelines or the laws or the rules are. And so we, you know, sometimes compare it to, you know, it's like a license. If you go to another state, you have to get a different state certification with it. And there's different requirements that each state has. And so, you know, that's a little bit of the certification component. And then with students, we talk about, you know, they have their degree that they're going to graduate in, but they're also in a certification program where we're not only going for the degree, and this could be a master's level degree, or it could be a bachelor's degree, but we're also going for the certification because our ultimate goal is to get them hired in a job with as a certified teacher.
And is your perception that you know, I don't want it to make it seem like WSU does just better than everyone else, but is it your perception that if students have a desire to get a job, they're getting jobs right now because of the teaching shortage in general?
Yeah, I would say it's a little bit of both. You know, the teaching shortage has certainly helped, and COVID is going to help and is helping. There's all kinds of job openings right now for teachers because a lot of veteran teachers are, for one reason or another, COVID related. This has just, you know, been a deciding factor that they are either done or they will be done soon. So that's part of it. And then, there is without question that name brand recognition, because in just about every school in the state of Washington, there is a principal or there are teachers who have come through this program, and they're very loyal to this program, and they enjoy giving back. And so this is without question one of the benefits is when it comes to placements, or when it comes to connecting with a principal, you know, saying you're from Washington State University, it means something, and it carries weight and is very helpful in whether it's placements, whether it's you know, being a reference for a job even.
So let's talk student teaching. Part of the requirement for any of our students to then to move toward certification teaching is they have to do student teaching. And so they have they're placed in a district. If I'm not mistaken, is that still like their hometown, generally speaking, where they do that?
Most of the time.
Most of the time.
Yeah, you know, currently, and when we talk to students about their placement for student teaching, it's a little tricky because sometimes going back to their old school is not the best idea because the teachers there still look at them as a former student instead of as a colleague. So we Right. try to be a little bit careful as we navigate that part of it. But then we want our teacher candidates, and that's what we call them, we want them to consider a couple things. Number one is, where does it make sense for you to live? Like, where are you going to have support? Because basically they're paying tuition to work a full-time job in an internship. And so the money hardship as far as rent, food, that sort of thing is a challenge.
It's a fair point. Yeah. So we're facilitating a little easier.
Yep. Sure. Absolutely. And so they need to just consider the logistics of life when it comes to where they student teach. But then we also want them to consider, where do you want to get a job? Because like in a lot of career fields, the internship really turns into like a 16-week job interview. That if you're doing a good job, it's noticed and you have an inside track for if there is an opening. It's just how things work. And so we try to encourage our candidates to think about where is it that they want to get a job in addition to where does it make sense as far as the logistics on where you're going to be.
Sure. So if I could, you know, put it another way, if I'm from Centralia, which is, you know, I am, but I know that I really want to work in the Spokane area long term, it might be more beneficial for me to have my internship in Spokane. So student teaching in Spokane, because it opens up that market to me.
Yep, absolutely. And okay. We had just before I spoke with you, I spoke to a teacher candidate, a young lady who is from Brewster, Washington, but she wants to get a job in Spokane. And so we kind of came to the conclusion, well, maybe you should student teach in Spokane. And fortunately, she's got family and friends that live there, and we'll probably make that happen for her.
Yeah, that's great that you're willing to work with the students and, help facilitate to the best that we can that. Now, there's something that is, did the students do a good job on their student teaching? Was it effective? Did it help prepare them? There is something called the EdTPA, which is a state mandated assessment. And I know if you Googled EdTPA, there's probably all kinds of things out there about, you know, that. And then, you know, I'll let people do that on their own. But that's the requirement anyway that we are in right now, is that the state assessment exists. And would you tell me a little bit about that state assessment, and how often do the students end up passing this before COVID? And hint, here's the little teaser. What was it in COVID? Was it way worse or maybe something else?
Sure. Yeah. I'll go back a little bit and give you some historical context. When I student taught at Cheney High School in 1994, there was no such thing as an EdTPA. You just focused on the teaching side of things, and that was hard enough. And if you did a good job, you passed, and then you'd move on. And I tell our candidates all the time that there's three scoreboards when it comes to student teaching. The first and probably most important scoreboard is your reputation and word of mouth, which turns into a reference. That's one scoreboard that's been around for quite some time. The second scoreboard is we have state standards and we have an evaluation based on those state standards. There's 10 of them, things like classroom management, professionalism, lesson planning, assessment, and they get either a met or a not met on that. And that's the second scoreboard. And that shows proof that they're ready to be a teacher. The third is the EdTPA. And this came about roughly 10 years ago. So let's go back in time to the Obama administration. And maybe you've heard of something called Race to the Top. I know. It was funny because we had an orientation where all the supervisors were saying they student taught in which administration. And and so we had some from the Ford administration.
Holy smokes.
We had one from the Johnson administration.
Really? Oh my gosh. It was
a couple from the Reagan administration. And so it was kind of a nice segue because I was like, whoa. I told the teacher candidates, I go, man, you guys are getting real interesting history because you can always say that you taught during the 2021 pandemic and at the beginning of the Biden administration. And so, we had a little bit of fun with that. But going back, so President Obama had this thing called Race to the Top. Okay. And it was a competition amongst the states and territories for federal dollars. And part of it was testing systems for K-12 students to show growth, evaluation systems for teachers. It had several components to it. Washington scored 42nd on it. So you had to be in the top 10 to get this like federal bonus money, basically. So
we were not racing at that point. Okay.
And so it caused an overhaul in teacher evaluation and just general K-12 testing for kids and a whole bunch of other things. And one of the ripple effects was a more robust teacher certification requirement. And that ended up being the EdTPA, which is a company. So Pearson, which operates out of Stanford University, they packaged a portfolio first for the state of California, and then it was adopted by a bunch of other states, including Washington. And in it, it's basically you're writing a 130-page summary proving you can teach with a ton of evidence. In it, you're
I'm out. I'm done.
Yeah, exactly. you've got lesson plans that you provide. You have video of yourself teaching. You have assessments. You have data, and then you kind of nerd out on the data, and then you have what's called narrative, and you basically prove over and over and over again using 15 different rubrics that you have what it takes to teach, that you know what you're doing, you know what you're talking about. And then it's scored by Pearson. And if you pass, basically, then you've got one of the many certification requirements. But this is a big certification requirement because the students pay $300 and it takes up a lot of their time to put this portfolio together. It's very controversial because you have a lot of people that argue the equity of it. You have a lot of people that struggle with what it's costing the students, and then you have a lot of people that are saying that it's unnecessary. But on the flip side, you have legislators and you have parents and you have, you know, people within our state who call it accountability, that this is evidence that you are teacher ready and that you've kind of proven it for it. So it's kind of, it is a very controversial thing. And it's something that our program dedicates a lot of time and resources to being good at. And fortunately, we've got it down. And we've got it down because we've got stability within who's the faculty, which lesson plans they're using, the administrative support side of things. And our scores were slightly higher during COVID than they were pre-COVID. And there's probably some reasons for that, because many of our teachers this semester had to teach over Zoom or remote. And it's just different teaching remotely than it is face-to-face. You don't have, the time is different. The classroom management is different. And so this last semester, although very different, was successful in that, 99% of our students passed student teaching. And then 93% now passed their ed TPA. And so that's slightly higher than normal, which is good short term, but we could make the argument, is it really good long term? Because there is the chance that we'll have some teachers who have had very little real classroom experience that will be certified and enter the job field, not because of their fault, but because schools have been mostly closed in our state.
One of the observations that I've had, and I've talked about this before with Tariq Akmal, who is the head of our teaching and learning department, he's the chair, is that one of the strengths of WSU is that it does prepare its students rather well to be versatile. And we know, I mean, this is not a new statistic. This is rather old that they say within the first 3 years, that's when the most attrition happens in teaching. But we do rather well because it is rigorous, because if you can get through student teaching, the practicum and all of that, it may even feel a little easier to get into the classroom in some regards, right? And not in other regards, but in some regards, you're a little more seasoned or hardened and ready to do that. So I think that makes sense. You know, when I hear the EdTPA, and I didn't bring up the controversy, you know, you I was going to let you talk about that, right? If we didn't have the EdTPA, I think the College of Education at WSU would find another way to excel, right? We have definitely put resources and time and effort to doing it right. If we didn't have it, I think we'd find something else to do and to do it right. I think the college is adaptable, and I think that's gone down to the students learning how to be adaptable and be versatile. And I don't know, I can see where, you know, it's been really hard for some teachers to deal with COVID, and it's been a stress. I have a neighbor who's a teacher, and it's been a stress. But for some of our student teachers, maybe they have done a good job, and they don't have travel time now, and other things that maybe they could put more toward their ed TPA. So I don't know. That's coming off the top of my head as hypotheses, I guess, as to why that may be. But that's still impressive, I think, that it's higher than normal.
Well, I like what you just said about if ed TPA went away, how we would have something else to, you know, to prepare our teachers or to show that they're ready, or in my analogy, have another scoreboard with it, because it's, I mean, every week and every day, EdTPA ends up being a big part of my job in life, and not just myself, but anyone that's involved in teacher education in the state of Washington and many other states as well. I mean, just for example, today, you know, we were trying to help a student teacher for kindergarten, and that's a very tough grade to do an EdTPA with because you're using this academic language that is really complex and high level, and breaking it down to the kindergarten level. And so, you know, it's spending quite a bit of time to support a kindergarten teacher with this massive project. I had a conversation with the principal up in Spokane today, and they were all for getting rid of the EdTPA, saying it was unnecessary. And here I am representing WSU. And so I've got to be always very careful in that I don't want to badmouth something that I have to promote to the students as a state requirement. And so, I don't want to.
But like anything, whether it's unfunded mandate or whatever, like anything, we can lobby, that can be on that side of it. But observation, and you said it, is we it's there, and we do the best we can with that. And we're well prepared. Our students do a good job on it. You know, they do a great job. If it wasn't there, I think we'd find the next thing and we would excel in that. So
And that's the story of education, really. It's you know, education as far as programs and ideas is it's very it's whatever the flavor of the year or the decade is. And a lot of times it's political. And the bottom line is ultimately we're at the mercy of lawmakers, you know, that set these requirements in place. And then we have to do the best that we can to kind of follow the intent of whatever legislation is passed.
Maybe that's why our teachers do so well, where they're in the system where they have to just do the best they can with what is required. And then they're in a classroom and you never know what students you're going to have, right? If you're in a kindergarten classroom with all the personalities and you got to roll with the punches, you know? So well, maybe they are well prepared.
That is so true. And that's the ongoing joke of teachers is if they had any, state lawmakers had any real idea of what really goes on in a classroom, they would think a little bit different in regard to decisions and funding and things like that. But this year has been interesting. It's been so interesting to kind of have things turned around and have the stay-at-home education and hopefully it'll be long-term good, you know, as far as what's come out of it.
Yeah, and I think you would admit too is the one nice thing is we have a lot of Cougs that are lawmakers and we have a good relationship with. Some lawmakers are very willing to listen, to carefully consider the requests that we give them, and our state superintendent is an alumnus of the College of Education, so. I think we have some allies, you know, we do have some friends there, and I think that at least is helpful, you know. So, well, last question, Matt. Second to last question. Could you turn on your light? Oh, good, you did it. Okay, last question. Let's
must be January in Washington. It's starting to get dark.
let's chat baseball real quick. Okay, so talk about coaching baseball and how fun that's been.
Oh yeah, to me it's a total outlet. You know, so. That's one of the things, you know, that I encourage our teacher candidates to do, is that if you're a teacher, you're so much more to that than the kids. I hope that they're going to all the school plays, that they're involved in the arts, all the co-curricular activities, and that, you know, and then there's so many just athletic opportunities for kids in most regular years, which are good outlets for the kids and good socialization and things like that. And so so then it's up to teachers, because what's happening in society is you're getting fewer and fewer teachers who are willing to do more than just teach, because they feel the demands of the job have gotten to the point where they don't want to coach on top of it. And then to add to it, certain sports, I would say, basketball, volleyball, a lot of the sports is it's taken up more and more time, and then you have to deal with the angry parents quite a bit within sports, and so you just have teachers opting out, and then you have community members that end up having to kind of fill the void, and then it's just a revolving door in a lot of schools as far as coaching opportunities. And so I had always coached as a teacher, and to me, it was an outlet. It was something that after teaching in a classroom all day, I would love, whether it's football or baseball, the fresh air, just being out in fresh air, and then doing something a little less mental, and maybe swinging a fungo and hitting ground balls, you know, and then you get to know the kids on a different level as well, and it's just a lot of fun. And so I had coached just about everything from cross country to girls basketball to football to baseball, and then when I kind of made the move to higher education at University of Idaho, I noticed and my kids were starting to go through school that there'd be like one coach out there for like 40 kids, And I felt a little guilty. And so I ended up, helping out, and it ended up being just kind of for just the mental part of life, real freeing to be able to continue coaching. So I help with the baseball team here in Pullman. It's kind of nice to be in more of a helper role than the head coach, because it's amazing the time that it takes if you're a head coach of a sport. It's just been a lot of fun to kind of have that connection to the school district, as a WSU employee, and before that, even as a U of I employee, to kind of have the connection to your community and have that break as far as the job part goes. And so, I hope to continue doing this for a while with it. So.
All right, cool. Matt Coulter, Director of Field Services, once an educator, always an educator, a coach, and above all, the most important thing, aside from being a family man, of course, is a baseball guy. So, Matt. I appreciate it.
I hope to visit with you this spring, at Coug Games, because
I enjoy them. Let's see if I can point. Right here is where I'll put the ladder up. Above the fence, behind the fence, right here. We'll get the binoculars out and we'll watch some games if they don't let us in.
Hey, I'll be there. I look forward to that. So
thanks, Matt. Appreciate it.